het ons sê altyd vir julle, dit begin by ons, it starts with us, when you work on a message, something needs to change within you. If that message is not for me first, I will not be able to deliver it. So, this was life-changing for me, even 4:30 this morning. And I hope it's going to be a life-changing, this challenge is here this morning, because the theme or that God gave me was the secret key to transfiguration, that secret place of experiencing the true presence of God. I just looked at the spiritual meaning of transfiguration. It's an exalting, glorifying, or spiritual change. So this is not something from the outside. The Greek word metamorpho, it means to transform literally and figuratively, to metamorphose or to change, like a worm into a butterfly. But this only can happen on the mountain, no other place. You see, and on the mountain you will find not a crowd of people following you. All the mountain experiences that you read in the Bible was either a handful or a single person. You see, this is the where human meets with the nature of God. You see, it's easy to be part of a congregation and to hear the nice things and say, wow, this was a good message. But do we really know and understand the nature, the real nature and culture of God? You see, that's a meeting place for the natural with the supernatural. Because God stands without time, outside time. He's supernatural. And it's with Jesus, his son, as that connecting point, acting. Jesus is acting as that bridge between heaven and earth. And that's why he died on the cross. The question this morning is, have we been transformed? Have we really been transfigured? And only you will know the answer to that this morning. You see, one of the dangers of the New Age church in the times we live is that the church have started change, but the change was because of common culture influences, of religion, rules and regulations that was brought in by man. And so the church have become almost too efficient. Because you see, culture is moving at a very high speed. You can see just with technology changing everything, it moves at a high speed. And we need to understand that the kingdom from God do not move with the beat or the pace of culture. God moves at God's speed, his own speed. You see, nothing we do today, we can do without a click of a button. We don't even cook the old way anymore. Microwave. I bought myself one as an air fryer. How many of you, there's some of you that never had the privilege to lick a stamp and put it on a letter and send it to someone. It's a click of a button and it's immediately wherever you want it in the world. No personal touch. We need to understand that God's kingdom do not march with the culture that is changing every day. You see, the kingdom of God and the principles thereof must bring change to culture. But see, we, the church, allows the common culture to change our beliefs, to change the way we do things. You see, there's three kinds of culture. You've got the common culture, which is the mediocre. That's the greatest group of churches, let's say, in the world. They do the same thing and believe the same thing. Then you've got your counteract culture. They are against the stream always, and they are the only church that's doing things right. Everybody else is wrong. God doesn't want you to fit in with any of them. He wants you and me to be trendsetters for the kingdom, to bring change, to bring about a new culture, a culture with the same DNA that God has got. You see, the world is watching the church and the Christians of today. Have you realized that? They are watching us with a watchful eye to look at our mistakes, to see when we do things wrong. You see, and we sometimes compare our sins with other people's biggest sins. But see, confession is followed by being made new. And if Christians only humbly come to the place where they start confessing their own sins, maybe the world will follow us. Gandhi said when he was on a train with a pastor one day, and he suddenly started quoting Matthew of Jesus. And this pastor said, wow, but you're some Indian guru, but you know the Bible almost better than me. Why don't you follow Jesus? He says, the day I see Jesus in the followers, I will. You see, and that only comes by transformation. You see, there's something bigger that comes after you are born again. There's something bigger. That's not where it stops. You see, we live in a time where we allow the culture influence to bring changes to the kingdom of God. You see, each one of you, and including me, has a calling. There's a call from God on your life this morning. You see, and between the call of God and the purpose, his intended purpose for your life, there's a secret ingredient, which is called process. You see, there's a process that we need to go through in order to get to transfiguration, as you see later in my message. You see, in this process is where children of God get lost, where we fall through the cracks because of religion, because of many things, because of judgment, because of sin in our life. And the enemy is busy overpowering us. The enemy is busy taking up more and more territory every day from the church. And we ask ourselves, but why? You see, it's God that draws us into the process of change to have a personal encounter with Him. You see, that mountain moment is what God wants from us. You see, in this process, we are formed and changed. In this process, we are equipped and we've been developed in character, integrity. Do Christians still have character, integrity? We see how many pastors worldwide, not because they're sinners, but they fall. And they sin. Why? Because they lack character. They lack that mountain moment with God. Because in this process where God will form your character. So many, and that's where I was, I thought I almost arrived. I thought I almost arrived. But I was far from arriving. Because I thought I'd operate in the promise of God and my calling. But without the change of character, you are without identity. You are without identity. And you will fall through the cracks during this process. You will not be able to deal with the pressure in your life. That's why so many of us need to use medication. We've now and then been booked in, because we cannot deal with the pressure. Because of the lack of intention and integrity. Then we start to follow the easier, quicker, quick fixes that common culture is giving us in the church. We start following that to reach the promised purpose. So we short circuit God's intended purpose in our life. We take shortcuts to try and get on top of the mountain. And we sometimes then we find ourselves lonely, hopeless, and we wonder why. You see, Jesus is a very good example of what I've just said. You see, Jesus knew his identity. At the age of 12, he left his mom and dad to go and speak to the Pharisees in the temple. But then we never heard of Jesus again. And he submitted himself to the process God intended for him for 20 years before he was released into ministry. You see, that's a difference, the process. But it's in the process that we give up. It's in the process that we feel hopeless. It's in the process that we divorce, that we do all these big mistakes in our life. Matthew 4:3, it's written, the devil came to tempt Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these rocks to become bread. What happened here? He tried to attack the identity of Jesus. If you are the Son of God. Jesus didn't even answer him. He didn't have to answer, yes, I am the Son of God, because he knew he was in the Father. He had to submit to the process for 20 years to become the ultimate promise for this earth. And its people. That's why the word of God says in Ephesians 2:20, built on the foundation of the apostle and the prophet, with Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Nothing else. Not religion, not compromising, not good deeds, not culture influence, but only God's intended purpose. Through Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. You see, the church, unfortunately, have become lovers of attention and pleasure. And that's something that doesn't exclude me, because we don't know our real identity and we don't really understand and have the revelation of what real transfiguration needs to be in our life. You see, we come Sunday after Sunday and we sit and we listen and we're happy when we leave. But why does your life fall apart by Thursday? Then you can't wait for Sunday to reload, as people say. You see, we need to be in that process. Even olive oil and wine needs to go through a specific process. Both the grape and the olive needs to be crushed in the process to become wine. No easy way out. God wants us to know our identity, to be transformed and have authority and power over the enemy. The church have become powerless in the times that we live. I know this is a hard message, but I had to hear it first. That I was actually powerless. I was busy wasting the time of the kingdom. You see, God wants us to be sons and daughters that have stability, that has character, that's founded into the in the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. You see, the church has lost direction as we allow these common pressures and the common cultures to bring change in our churches. See, God wants a meeting with you this morning on the mountain in order, for one thing, to know Him personally. Do you know Him personally? Not by your religion, not by your knowledge, not by the theory. You as a person, as you are. And I said in the beginning, don't feel offended, but I must maybe say, if you are feeling offended this morning, God is specifically speaking to you this morning. Because I felt offended. I didn't want this part. I did not want to bring. God says you will, but change first. Say goodbye to that in your life and that in your life. And change, and then you bring the message. You see, the church has been transformed by culture. That we start at the exact time. Exact two songs or one song or three songs or five songs. We stop. We do collection that and then a 20, 30 minute teaching. And we go home. And we say, wow, I've done good for God today. And we ask our brothers and sisters outside, have you been in church today? No. How do you go through life without church? How do we make it through life the way we worship the Lord? And we wonder why the enemy takes up more territory and overpowers us in the battles. Because you know why? Satan takes this battle very serious. This is not playtime for him. He takes the battle serious. So God needs somebody to rise up in authority. He needs somebody to bring an element of surprise to the enemy. But we are without identity, without a mountain experience. And that's why the world finds itself in a crisis of fatherlessness. Because we allow the enemy to make us orphans. Because he was the first orphan. You see, God wants to introduce His fatherhood, His ultimate, almighty, omnipresent, His love. Because all troubles in the world is connected to a father. If we can today, we will be able to fix every problem in this world. Do you know that? If we can place a legitimate, God-fearing father that had a mountain experience in every home in this world today, we will fix every problem in the world today. But we would be able to fix it. Christians have become so well trained in church. I'm one of them. We play, we praise, we worship. We have the right hand gestures, the right moves, the right sound even. We know how to act and to perform, which means church, common culture have transformed us from the outside. God wants to bring transformation inside out so that we not only become lovers of church, but lovers of souls. See, that's what it's all about. It's souls. God wants a meeting with you to meet with His real nature this morning. You see, God, we want revival. But God has not created us for revival. He brings revival so we can experience a real, real connection with Him. His nature, His culture. That's why He brings revival. You see, with John the Baptist, It was only, it was all about the people's encounter with the Spirit, not about his anointing. People were speaking about him, him as a person, but it was not about him. When Jesus was asked about, is he the Elijah to come? Jesus answered them, and it meant by saying this, I'm just going to not quote the scripture, but the way that I read it, is that, listen, I'm not speaking about seeing him. Seeing it, the Holy Spirit, is what it's all about. It's not about the person. I mean, it's written in Luke 1:17 that he, that's John the Baptist, came in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children. God wants to bring transformation, but you know, transformation and transfiguration means a sacrifice from me and you this morning. You will have to sacrifice something. And I've decided I need to sacrifice all. No more playing. We can see the times we live in with the load shedding all. I'm not a doom prophet, but you don't have to be to see that things is coming really quickly to an end. If we look at sacrifice, we look at Abram and Isaac, and this is the most amazing revelation God gave me, is that here was Abram the father carrying. What did he carry up the mountain? He carried the fire and the knife in order to kill the sacrifice. And the son that was the sacrifice had to carry the fuel for the fire and become the sacrifice on the altar. So that the flesh of the next generation could burn. See, God is challenging us this morning. And I hope you feel like I felt when I worked out the sermon, that you feel, but God, you are picking on me all the time now. Everything, did you see my, are you looking into my